easy to see what dimension of the mystery of the Passion these two readings open up for us. It's expelling, killing, being jealous of your own. So we have this story of Joseph first. Now, the story of Joseph is the longest single event recounted in the Old Testament. It's important, this story about Joseph. See, they tried to kill him, they were jealous. And ultimately, as you know the story and you can read it, he becomes the one responsible for giving out the food during the 7 years of famine. And his brothers come. And they, you know, they go home again and they come back. This time, he imprisons Benjamin. And they all get scared. It'll kill our father. Because these two were the son of the father's favorite wife, Benjamin and Joseph. And so, finally then, because they're speaking Hebrew and they don't think he knows Hebrew because he's speaking Egyptian with everybody, you know. And so he starts to weep. And then the key line in the whole story, this all happened for your salvation, for your life, for your rescue. This was God's plan. So you see, he is he opens up for us the mystery of Christ. But is this one rejected? And that's why when our Lord tells the story of these tenant farmers, you see, the law at that time was that if the owner of the farm, where the tenant farmers were, died and had no heir, the tenant farmers could take the farm. That's why they say, see, let's kill him, and then this farm will be ours, because he has only one son. And so the Lord tells this story, to warn them. Now, how does that apply to us? We all want the Lord to be the Lord, but let's not exaggerate, you know. Do we want him to be Lord, like, totally? If you look today at the Magnificat, there is an account there by Blessed Angelo of Foligno trying to describe the way the Lord wants to take over our lives, so that it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. That's the goal. And so she describes, as others have done, I can't do anything. I remember Marius McAuliffe, an Irish Franciscan and a great mystic. And he said, you know, you think if you have mystical prayer, you might get proud. He said, it's the most humbling thing in the world, because it's Christ acting in you and you're going along with it. But it's the Lord Christ living in you, acting in you, praying in you. And that's what this passage from Angelo of Foligno is about. But my friends, that would be a great grace, to yield ourselves to the Lord Christ who lives in us, so that little by little, it's his praise and love of the Father and his confidence in the Father and his love for the Father, that's why we say Abba, and his care for all his brothers and sisters takes over our life. And so, as Paul says, I live now, not I. Christ lives in me. And the life I live now, I live not on my own, but by him who loved me and gave himself over for me. Now, that's maturing in the Christian life. And it's amazing that you see this text has these two dimensions, these texts we have today. First, betrayal and murder. And then inheritance. And so, if you look at that, if you get a chance, and see, you know, there's a book out called A New and Divine Holiness. And it's all about this reality. The Pope calls it A New and Divine Holiness when he's canonizing somebody. And this book is about this awareness of the way the Lord Jesus lives his heavenly life in us. And we have his care for the poor, his care for the outcast, his care for those who are mired in sin. And we have his love for the Father and his prayer. And that's the invitation. And so it's interesting that the way Peter Cameron put the Angelo Foligno passage along with these two texts that we have from the liturgy. We don't want to lose control. It's okay to be pious, but let's not exaggerate. You know? Let's not give our whole life to Christ. You know what I mean? That's going too far. No, it's not. That's what we're called to.